Hello and welcome to the HR Means Business podcast, which is part of the HR Happy Hour Network. My name is Mervyn Dinnan, and today I'm speaking to you from WorkHuman Live, the annual conference of WorkHuman. We are in San Diego, and I'm delighted to be able to talk to Brenda Polman. Brenda, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you very much, Mervyn. I appreciate the invitation to be part of this today. Very exciting. So my name is Brenda Polman, and I'm a vice president and practice leader with the WorkHuman Consulting Practice, so an organization sitting inside WorkHuman where we focus on helping customers set effective strategies for programs that help bring more humanity back to the workplace.
Excellent. Recognition is important at the moment. We heard that at the beginning. I think most people are aware that, you know, externally we have a cost of living crisis fairly globally. We have candidates who, or employees rather, who maybe are voting with their feet. We've heard about trends like Great Resignation and Bare Minimum Mondays. And it might be that they are looking to be treated slightly differently. We heard Esther Perel, the opening keynote, say that we used to work for a company until they closed down, and now we work for a company until we feel that we could be treated or given better opportunities elsewhere. Recognition plays a key part in this now, doesn't it, Brenda?
Yeah, it absolutely does, and I think we're seeing evidence of that everywhere. There's so much research today pointing to the impact of recognition on employees' willingness to stay with an organization and their level of engagement while they're working for us. And some of that is our own research, and research external to WorkHuman, it's everywhere. It's a ubiquitous thing in the world of human resources today. But I think the other thing, too, is we all know this very naturally as human beings, right? So it makes a lot of sense, and I think we understand in our personal lives the power of gratitude and thanks, and we just are still maybe struggling sometimes to figure out ways to drive that otherwise very natural human connection point in the workplace to the benefit of our employees and our businesses.
How do you think we can do that better?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that that is a bit of a myth sometimes, and let's just start here because I think this is a good foundational piece of context for us, but we sometimes as a technology company at our core get a little bit of, you know, questioning sometimes from HR leaders about, gosh, this is such a human nature kind of a thing. This is a very personal interaction between people. This should be so easy and so simple. Do we really need a piece of technology to help drive this in our organizations? And the reality is we do. It is very simple and very common and very natural for us as people to express thanks, to show gratitude to one another in our personal lives, but not so much at work, right? And I had this really fascinating conversation with an HR leader just a couple of days ago at the conference, and she was saying, in her view, technology, the prevalence of technology in our lives, has actually helped erode that natural ability for us to interact like human beings in saying thank you and expressing gratitude and so forth. And she said, but I think it's technology that's going to bring it back, which was really fascinating. I thought that was a really powerful statement. And we certainly believe in that. We believe that if we leave managers, employees to their own devices, as well-meaning as they might be, they are not necessarily going to prioritize expressing gratitude to their employees and their teams in a meaningful way that has impact to the recipients of that recognition, and won't necessarily do it frequently enough to generate impact. So we need something to help facilitate that transaction, as human and natural as it otherwise might be.
And why do you think that is? Do you think that there's maybe a problem with connection in the workplace? As we've got more technology for what we do on a day-to-day basis, we're interacting less with each other.
Yeah, we are, right? And when we're interacting through screens and so forth. And people are busy. I mean, I think the world of work today is full of roles like working managers, where people are maxed out and have a lot of responsibilities, and it's hard to prioritize things like taking a moment to thank a team member. But I think the other thing too is it comes down to skill. I think people don't know how to do that effectively.
Hello, humans.
I think sometimes people are uncomfortable. You know, they don't know how to say thank you in a very specific and meaningful way. So it's sort of a combination. We're not training people how to do that. We're not carving out time to do that, and we're not giving them the tools to do that really, really well.
Mm. I think some of that also comes from our personal lives. I think I hate to say it, but I think that we as a population sometimes don't say thanks to people who do things for us. It's almost like it's expected.
Yeah.
And in the workplace, I appreciate that that can have negative impact. And we saw some good data in the opening around this and how people feel if they're not recognised, but the more they're recognised, how they feel not just about their organisation, their work, about themselves, about their colleagues and stuff. How important do you think it is that they have these feelings?
Yeah, well, I thought something that comes out of that, some of that data, that's so especially powerful is this idea that if people feel more appreciated at work, they actually are happier human beings outside of work, right? That they report that their home lives feel more comfortable and more productive to them, that they have better relationships with their family and friends. I mean, it's really an incredible thing. It's an incredible construct to think about. Just this simple act of showing gratitude for work that colleagues are doing has this outsized impact on all aspects of their life.
What do you see companies maybe doing wrong? They when they embrace it and say, we understand this, we want to do more of this, where do they make mistakes?
Yeah, so we talked about the idea of like maybe thinking that we don't need any technology, that if we just leave everybody alone, they will naturally arrive at this thing as an important thing to do and they will do it, right? And that's not true. We don't see any evidence of that. People don't create this habit on their own. So I think that's the first thing, is not understanding that you need some tools to help make that happen. I think the other thing too is that as much as we all believe in the power of gratitude, and this feels it feels so important, and it feels so kind of like, of course, right? This is very simple and very natural. Of course, gratitude matters. That organizations can kind of over-index on the power of thanks alone, right? And we don't necessarily, we maybe sort of miss the mark on focusing on how to create a gratitude-fueled moment that really delivers impact for the recipient. And one of the most common things that we overlook is that the idea of adding a monetary component to that experience. I think, you know, it feels like a dirty word sometimes in our world, monetary recognition or the notion of reward. And HR leaders can sometimes say, well, gosh, isn't it enough if people just say thank you? Isn't that enough? That's where the real impact comes from. And it's absolutely true that that is where the real impact comes from. But we find through research that it's not enough. We can't just simply say thank you and not add some real kind of rigor to that experience, put a little meat on the bone. So it's the monetary component isn't the most important part of the experience, but it's the thing that gives it a lot of stickiness.
And do you think that people will be struggling more because we hear on a daily basis, certainly across Europe, about a cost of living crisis and times are getting tougher, and maybe people feel less secure at work in their employment and more worried about what happens if they were to lose their role. Can you see this now intensifying in terms of recognition needing to be very specifically hardwired into not every interaction, but, you know, many more interactions in the workplace?
Yes, absolutely, right? I mean, we have proof that says people are willing to stay. They're much more willing to stay if they feel appreciated for the work that they do, and that certainly doesn't change in a time of economic crisis. It's even more important, right? And you think about scenarios where you have employees who may be getting nervous about the economy, are seeing business results attached to their employer that maybe don't seem perfectly positive, starting to ask themselves some tough questions, and I think that constant pulse or rhythm of having a moment where somebody says, I see you and I see your good work and I value that goes a long way in employees doing what might feel sometimes today in our environment like a little bit of a risky thing to stay, right?
Yeah, no, I understand that. What kind of mistakes do you see companies making? So when they try to embrace this, what are the kind of classic mistakes you see companies make as they try to embrace a culture of recognition?
Well, I think one of those mistakes relates very nicely to the conversation we were just having about the economy and cost of living and so forth, because the reality is, you know, times are tough for a lot of organizations, and there's a lot of belt tightening, and there isn't necessarily sort of extra budget to invest in these sorts of programs sometimes. But what's fascinating related to that, I think, is that companies often aim really high when we start talking about layering in rewards into a recognition experience. They aim really high, and they focus on these big cash awards that have a lot of impact, potentially. We could talk about that further, but on very, very few people. So they're investing a lot of money in the value of awards that's probably actually much higher than it needs to be. It takes a surprisingly little amount of investment, relatively speaking, to generate the kind of powerful experience that really drives impact on business outcomes. So they aim too high. Big, expensive cash awards.
And cash isn't always the answer, is it?
So HR leaders will often think, well, all of my employees just want cash as a reward. If we're talking about incorporating a rewards component of a recognition experience, it's like it's just cash. Let's just do that. And I think the truth is probably that if you did survey employees and said, we're going to create a new rewards program and people are going to get recognized and we're going to have a little monetary component to that, you know, what do you want as a reward? And a lot of employees would say cash. I think this is a moment where we have to step away as HR leaders and say, but what's the right thing to do for the business? Because there is zero evidence out there that suggests that there is the kind of return on a cash reward that you would have with other forms of reward currency, like a points-based system. And that's for all kinds of reasons. Part of it is that people who receive cash awards don't necessarily choose to do anything very aspirational with that. Even if it's a small aspirational thing, they literally pay bills, right? It goes into kind of the bank account and they pay bills, they buy groceries, they buy gas or petrol, and there's no emotional connection to that sort of experience. And cash also is something that we don't, as humans, feel really comfortable talking about, which means it can't be celebrated, which means that you're losing the ability for that recognition experience to be shared. And for recognition, frankly, to be part of your culture in an organization, it has to be visible and celebrated. Like, by definition, things that are part of your culture are not things that are hidden and squirreled away. And that's what cash awards do. And I have a really good example of this. I actually was speaking with a friend just last week who had a great experience at work, was on a big meeting, and the boss was there, and the boss was talking about all the good work that he had done and kind of went into a whole bunch of detail. It was a really powerful moment. And then at the end, she said, oh, and by the way, there'll like be a little something in your paycheck at the end of the month for that. And it was a big call with lots of people. And he said, gosh, that was so great. And then it just got really awkward. Like, what do you mean there's something in my paycheck coming? And why did you say that in front of all these people? And he said all the goodwill that was communicated in that moment was kind of eradicated by this idea that now we're talking about cash in my paycheck. So it can't be celebrated. Recognition needs its own currency, is what we like to say.
I like that. Recognition needs its own currency.
And it separates it out from other forms of compensation, too.
Yes.
So that you kind of avoid that idea of it becomes an entitlement over time and so forth.
Yes, that's an interesting one, because it should be just hardwired into how we are as people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our day-to-day lives, we thank people for doing things, or maybe we don't anymore. That's part of the problem.
Right. We don't do it well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we don't
do
it authentically and specifically.
Yes. Well, we just WhatsApp them.
Right.
What are some of the best examples you've seen of recognition programs?
Oh God! I mean, we're so fortunate at WorkHuman to work with a variety of organizations all over the world, and we have some incredible success stories. You know, organizations who really have embraced this concept of recognition being part of making work more human, and they have strong executive sponsorship, and they have investment levels that signal to employees that they take this very seriously and they know it matters. I mean, just all kinds of success stories. And we also have customers who are on a journey. And I think that's the reality, especially today with our economic situation around the world, right? Is that it's a journey, and not all organizations are prepared to invest straight away in doing this to the extent that we might say is, forgive the terminology, best practice.
Yeah.
But I would say specifically, you know, getting back to that idea of the monetary recognition, we customers who and organizations who do this really well tend to have this sort of sweet spot of a set of award levels that are varied so that they're able to recognize a variety of different sorts of contributions that employees make on any given day across the organization. And they tend to be fairly low monetary award levels, but they're meaningful enough that an employee can have the experience of receiving really powerful feedback, the most important part of the experience, and that little monetary bump that kind of gives it some stickiness that makes the experience extra rewarding and memorable. And I was just going to add one thing. This was interesting. In Eric Mosley's keynote the other day, he was talking about new research that's just come out where we've done some analysis on the specificity of messages that accompany these recognition experiences. You know, how detailed somebody gets when they're recognizing a colleague for a piece of good work, and that the specificity really matters in the employee's level of engagement over time. And what's interesting about that is when you think about conveying a feeling of gratitude, expressing thanks to an employee, and being specific about what they did and why that mattered, that's got to be kind of calibrated with whatever reward component goes along with it, right? So let me just speak very quickly to the other end of the scale is HR leaders thinking that we can be giving out awards that feel like a dollar or two at a time, sort of just quick giving out of points and cash and, you know, coffee gift cards and that kind of thing. The reality is in that sort of a scenario, the focus is so much on these very small amounts of monetary reward that it doesn't sort of inspire the nominator, the person who is doing the recognizing, the giver, to be specific about why they're doing that, right? If I'm just handing you like a little reward that's worth a dollar, I don't necessarily feel like I need to take a moment to tell you exactly why your contribution was so meaningful to me.
Mm. Now, it's an interesting point. I worked for a company many years ago, and they had, I suppose, a fairly early recognition-style program in that you could nominate colleagues on a monthly basis. There was a monthly company meeting. There were about 100 of us who worked there. And certain people got recognized, mm-hmm. and you could nominate. But you actually had to think about the nomination. It's kind right. of it because otherwise it's just, well, I'll nominate Mervyn because he's a nice guy and he was really nice. We had a good chat the other day about the soccer or the tennis or something, you know. And you do, because those are the little moments that make your life at work, right. I suppose, you know, good.
That's, right.
And so I think it's the specifying what it is that particularly when it's top down, is important. We've talked about the mistakes and some of the best, I suppose, practice examples. In terms of, a recognition program, is it how difficult do you see it for some organizations to maintain consistency?
Maintain consistency in, you mean relative to who participates and who receives recognition?
Yeah.
You know, that's a really interesting question. So we advocate for, we want everybody in the organization to be eligible to give recognition and give recognition to any other employee in the organization. So full global programs with full open eligibility. So you create some consistency just in the business rules you attach to the program, right? You make everybody eligible and you empower everybody to be spotting good work that happens around them. And I think always with recognition, there's going to be this organic, fluid kind of component to it. And you, in most companies, will see that high performers receive a little bit more recognition than others, and that's very natural. And then there are lots of mechanics in a system like ours that can help drive some of that consistency. But the global eligibility is a start.
Okay. We're going to wrap up in a second because I think we're going inside to hear a really interesting session. What would be your, from the last two or three days we've been here, your key takeaway in terms of your recognition for 2023 and beyond?
Oh, my gosh. That's a big question, Mervyn.
That's why I ended on it.
Right. Oh, I think my big takeaway is we're all... we're all inspired around the notion of recognition at work and the power it has. And I think I would just, I'd love to say to HR leaders who are here and listening, we just need to do the brave work of creating a business case to help other leaders also understand the power of recognition to do good things for the business.
That is a great point to end on. Brenda, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here. Thanks, Mervyn.
You're welcome.